of the book of Isaiah. We're going to begin there and share a few scriptures and some insights as the Spirit of God gives direction. Today, when we were at the baptism service, we were sharing from the book of Colossians, the second chapter, and reading in part the 10th verse, which says in the King James, "Ye are complete in Him." That a Christian, a person who has been born again by the power of God's Spirit and believing and trusting in Jesus Christ, is a complete and whole person. Turn that down just a little bit, Jack. Complete in Jesus Christ. The Living Bible, which is the scripture that we were sharing from at the time, the paraphrase, says it this way: in Christ, you have everything. In Jesus Christ, the believer has everything. And this communion table reminds us of what we have in Jesus Christ. It reminds us that in Him, we are complete. And in Him, we have everything. I know that most of the time, a high percentage of Christians have a tendency to look upon the ministry of Jesus simply as a ministry that saved us from sin. Certainly, He did that. And He has provided for us a way that we could have victorious life over sin. But He's given us so much more. And the communion celebration reminds us of that. That there is not one thing that we need in the fallen human condition that God has not already provided for us through the sacrifice of Jesus. And the communion table gives us demonstrative evidence and a reminder that whatever it is that we stand in need of, Jesus has already bought and paid for it and is presently our guarantee or surety that it is ours. Not only forgiveness from sin, certainly that is the most important aspect. But I can tell you that if you are confused in your mind and you are mentally disturbed and you're suffering torment in your mind, you need something besides forgiveness from sin. If your body is aching and your body is hurting, there's pain there, you want something more than forgiveness from sin. Now, please do not misunderstand me. I am not demeaning that portion of the ministry of Jesus. But there's more. And He wants us to enjoy all of it. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, in the 10th verse, Jesus said this. He said, "The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come to give you life, and to give it to you abundantly." He did not say, "I have come to give you life, and that barely." He said, "I have come to give you life, and that abundantly." That means to me all that we need and enough to share with others. An abundant, victorious life. Do you know, I'm convinced that when we come together to sing and to praise God and to worship God and to celebrate in worship and praise, that one of the reasons why there is such liberty, one of the reasons why there is such joy, and one of the reasons why it is that, I don't know how many people we have here tonight, we have 100, 120 people, something like that, something in that range. Why 100 people or so can sound like 300 or 400? You know why that is? Because people who know how to live in victory and know how to receive from Christ the abundance of life are thankful to Him for the fullness of that abundance, and it just flows out in worship, and it just flows out in praise, and it would take a cork in the mouth of that kind of a believer to keep him silent. You'd have to forcibly shut him up. Out of his spirit is flowing rivers of living water. Worship to the Almighty God that has provided abundance in life. Forgiveness of sin being the gateway or the entranceway into all of the rest of it. Now in the book of Isaiah in the 53rd chapter, the prophet Isaiah is declaring the ministry of Jesus when He would come. And we're told in the fourth verse. I'm going to begin to read in the fourth verse and read several verses here, especially the fourth and the fifth. Follow along with me in your own Bible. Surely he, that is Jesus, hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The singers were singing here before. Was that his cross, or was that my cross he carried? It appeared to those who were looking around that he was being punished by God for something he had done. It said we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted because it was something in him that deserved punishment. But Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Now, what does that mean? It means that God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, chose, because of His love and because of His grace, He chose to take all of our transgressions and all of our iniquities. What word, what one word would you put all of that under? Sin. He took all of our sin and He laid it upon Jesus Christ when He was on the cross, and Jesus was bruised and wounded because we were sinners. Paul said it a little differently in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 25th verse. He said, He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What was he saying? That as long as we were bound by our sin, we had no right to be made right with God. There was no way that we could ever be restored to fellowship with God, and we were consigned to hell in eternity and hell on earth, and that was our inheritance. But God, because of His love for us and His love for each and every one of you, God took your sin and my sin and the sin of the entire world, past, present, and future, and He took it all and He laid it upon Jesus when Jesus was on the cross. And when Jesus cried out of His heart, and He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He was crying under the burden of that tremendous sin load. And His Heavenly Father had turned away from Him because He had become sin. And the separation between He and His Father was more than He could take. And it broke His heart. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. We understand that. That has been very clearly preached and very clearly declared and very carefully taught, and the Christian church very generally recognizes that. But Isaiah did not stop there. He did not say only that He was bruised for our iniquities and wounded for our transgressions. He said also that the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. The punishment that would provide the way that we could have peace of mind. The means by which mankind could be given a peaceful, sound mind. The price was paid for that by Jesus at Calvary. Not only did He provide forgiveness of sin, but He also provided for a whole and sound mind for every believer. Paul said it a different way in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 when he said, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. And I tell you, if ever Christians needed a sound mind, it's today. If you want to get your mind played around with, just turn on the radio or turn on the television and just listen to the news a few days in a row. That will flat mess your mind up. Jesus Christ has provided for a man or a woman to have peace of mind. Confusion and indecision and fear are not parts of the human condition when a man has been born again. If you have become a Christian by faith in Jesus Christ, you are entitled, beloved, not only to forgiveness of your sin, you are entitled to have a clear, sound mind. You are entitled to have a mind that is free to operate under the leading of God's Spirit. You are entitled to have a mind that is not tormented by the things that those of the world are tormented by. You have a right to have a mind that does not govern you or torment you by various types of fears and insecurities. That chastisement of our peace was upon him. Paul said, you have everything in Christ. You have everything. You have forgiveness of sin, and you have also a sound mind in Jesus. But Isaiah didn't even stop there. For he went on and he said, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, I, like you, have heard very many fine men of God, dedicated Christian preachers and teachers, declare that this scripture means spiritual healing. I contend and submit to you that he's not talking about spiritual healing, that he's talking rather about physical healing, and I'll tell you why. You do not heal a sinner's heart. It's got to be born again. Spiritual healing will not get a man to heaven. He must be made new. You've got to destroy the old man and raise up a brand new one. You can't patch up a sinner's heart. You can't take a sinner's heart and get it healed a little bit and get him through the gates of heaven. It doesn't work that way. Spiritual healing is not the way. But rather, a man must be born again. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of heaven, let alone get inside. And a little spiritual healing is not what he's talking about here. The word healing in the Hebrew, by his stripes we are healed, that word literally means in the Hebrew to be mended or to be cured. And I think if we want to know whether he was really talking about physical healing here or not, it would be helpful for us to go into the Gospels and read the account that Matthew gave us and the account that Mark gave us and the account that Luke gave us and the account of John gave us. And see that when the man came to him who had a shriveled up arm, if Jesus didn't say, well, now in a few months here, I'm going to die. Now I'm going to get your heart taken care of. Don't worry about your arm. That's not what he said. He said, stand forth. And stretch forth that arm, and as he did, it was whole, just like the other one. As he was going from Jericho to Jerusalem, there were two blind men on the side of the road, one of them whose name was Bartimaeus, and they cried out, O thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. And the disciples were trying to keep them back off the road, out of the way. Hush up, don't you know that this is Jesus, and he's on his way to Jesus? He's got time for you, old dirty beggars. O thou son of David, they cried the louder. Have mercy upon us. And Jesus said, what's going on over here? Bring those men over here. And he said to Bartimaeus and his fellow traveler, he said, well, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus said, as he no doubt held his blind eyes, he said, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said, well, that's not part of my ministry for you to receive your sight. I'm going to give you spiritual healing in your heart, and then it won't matter whether you're blind or not. That's the way we hear it declared. That's why we hear it preached. Unfortunately, very many people remain blind because they believe that. That's not the way Jesus ministered. He said, according to your faith, be it done unto you, and immediately their sight was restored. When Isaiah declared that the Christ would come, he said he would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. He would take our sin upon him so that our spirit man could be made new and be made right with God and not be bowed over or cowed down with the burden or the weight of sin. He said that the chastisement of our peace would be upon him. And the way would be made clear for those who believed in him to have peace of mind. I tell you, there's a world out there that's crying for peace of mind. Crying for peace of mind. And he said that when the Messiah, when the Christ comes, he will also bear stripes on his body. And that by the breaking of his body, he will provide healing for those who will believe it. Now, unfortunately today, there are very many that do not yet believe that we are complete in Jesus Christ and that in Christ you have everything, even though the Bible clearly says it. And those are remaining in their condition. They're remaining in their sinful condition. They're remaining in their confused and tormented and fearful condition. And they're remaining in their sickened and broken condition. There are those who have taken the Word of God and have accepted it and received it just as clearly as I have said and are being set free from their sin. They're being set free from their confusion and their fear, and they're being set free from their tortured bodies. The remembrance of this supper is the remembrance that in Jesus Christ we have everything that we need. Jesus said in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Luke, he said, reading from the 19th and the 20th verses, these words, "And he took bread and gave thanks, and he brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Who is the body of Jesus given for? Who is the body of Jesus given for? Say, make it personal.
Me.
Me. Jesus' body was given to those who bruised him for me. The chastisement of my peace was on him, and the healing of my body was provided by his sacrifice. My diseases, my weaknesses, my infirmities were borne by him. If you want to read something interesting, go back to Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, and you will read, I don't know what verse it is, I think maybe it's the 14th or so, that it's near the end of the chapter, where it says about the Christ that his visage was so marred that he did not even look like a man, and those that saw him were astonished. His body was so mutilated and so twisted that there was absolutely no beauty about him, no comeliness about him. He was ugly hanging on that cross. Now, our artists picture him hanging on the cross, picture the blood hanging, blood pouring down, and picture his body hanging there limp on the cross. But he's recognizable as a man in the artist's conception. According to the prophecy of Isaiah, you couldn't even tell he was a man. The reason you couldn't tell is because he was bearing in his physical body all of your diseases and all of your infirmities. And when his body was broken, it was broken with your diseases and my diseases. It was broken with your weaknesses and my weaknesses. And when his blood flowed, it flowed to wash away your sin and my sin. You have everything in Christ. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Now the Holy Spirit gave the Apostle Paul very much insight in the matter of the Lord's Supper. And perhaps you'd turn with me, if you're following along in your Bible, to the 11th chapter, which is the words which contains the words of institution, which are commonly used in the Christian church to invite believers to the observance of the Lord's Supper. But there's something here that is not generally taught, not generally perhaps very well understood, but I think based on what I've just shared with you, I think there perhaps some insight will come through the Holy Spirit tonight as we read through this passage and as I explain it a bit, and then as we take the elements. I'm reading from chapter 11 of Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church, verse number 23. Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The Lord has spoken this to me and told me how the Lord's Supper is to be observed. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you." There it is again. My body which is broken for you. Now, his body was not broken to bear your sins. How were your sins paid for? By the blood. He clearly said in Luke 22:20 that this is my blood which is shed for you. In Matthew's account, the 26th chapter, I believe it's the 26th through the 28th verse, it says, this is the blood of the new covenant which is shed for the remission of the sins of many. It's the blood that washes away the sin. It's the blood of the spotless Lamb of God that cleanses the believer from sin. The broken body does not cleanse us from sin. The broken body does something else. What does it do? It provides the everything which the believer needs. It provides the rest of that which the believer needs in order to have everything in Christ. When Jesus died, he did not die just to redeem your spirit. He died to redeem you and to redeem me completely and eternally. We talk a great deal about the finished work of Christ. His work was not really finished at Calvary if all he did was provide for forgiveness of sin. There's very much more that we have need of. And what we haven't understood is the fullness of the gospel. This is my body, Jesus told Paul, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament, or the new covenant, new agreement, in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me, in remembering what I am doing for you. For as often as ye eat this bread, drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. What's he talking about there? Let a man examine himself so that he drink properly of the cup and eat properly of the bread. Now, we have understood that for such a long time to mean simply that we must drink the cup in faith and eat the bread in faith, believing that Jesus really died for us and that we recognize him as the substitutionary sacrifice which provides salvation for us. That's in there. But there's more, and it's in the next few verses. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now that's key. Not discerning the Lord's body. What does that mean? Not comprehending fully or understanding completely what this is all about. Now, I'm sure that there are some aspects about what we're going to be doing here in a few minutes that not any of us know fully. Only God knows perfectly, and we look through a glass dimly. But yet there is so much more that God has revealed to us clearly in his word than we have generally been familiar with. And we have not discerned the body of the Lord as carefully as we should. We've come to the communion table, and we thank God for forgiving us of our sins. And we've prayed and we've said, Lord, if there's any additional sin in our life, if there's anything in us that is displeasing to you, Lord, let the blood of Jesus wash us and cleanse us anew and afresh. Lord, make us white as snow. Take whatever there is within us that is sin or sinful and purge it, and let us drink and eat in a worthy manner. Lord, do that complete and perfect work in us in cleansing us from our sin. But that's only part of the ministry of Jesus. Do you see where we're going here now? We must discern the Lord's body. That means that we must look upon this remembrance as a remembrance of a sacrifice that provided for us completely. And as we partake, it's important that we judge ourselves in other areas of our life, not just in the area of sin, not just in spiritual things, but that we judge ourselves in other ways. That we judge our physical body, and that we look at that physical body and say, well, now that body is something's not right with it. Now, if there was sin in your life, wouldn't you judge yourself? Wouldn't you judge yourself of sin and say, that sin, I can't have it in my life anymore, and I forsake it, and I get rid of it, and I receive the forgiveness that God promised? Wouldn't you do that? And isn't this an appropriate time to do so? Then why shouldn't we treat sickness the same way? Why shouldn't we treat fear the same way, and confusion, and the rest of those things that trouble us in our mind? For Paul went on to say, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Are you still there? Many are weak and sickly among you. Among who? Among the church. Why? Because you didn't discern the body of the Lord Jesus clearly. Because you didn't understand that in Christ you have everything. Because you didn't comprehend fully that when Jesus died, His broken body provided healing for yours. But the stripes that He bore, the punishment that He took on His physical body, provided for a whole body for you and a whole mind. Now, I don't mean to overemphasize these things over and above the spiritual aspects. I'll tell you, I would rather die sick and be born again than to die well and not be born again. You follow me? All right? And I'm not overemphasizing to the neglect of the most important, but there's no reason to do that. Might as well die healthy, born again. I mean, why not? Abraham did it. Moses did it. Moses, 120 years old, climbed Mount Nebo, for goodness sake, 120 years old, and died there. It says his eyesight was not dimmed and his natural force was not abated. Now, if God is no respecter of persons, then why couldn't Vic do that, go that way? I mean, really. I mean, just think about it. Well, it's just not done, Vic. Why not? Why not? You see, people in the church have not discerned the Lord's body. We have been quick to judge ourselves of sin and forsake it, but we have not been quick to judge ourselves in these other areas. Verse number 31, Paul said, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." You have everything in Christ. You have everything you need in Christ. There's not one area of your life that Jesus has not already provided for you abundance. Not just barely enough to get along, but abundance. I want you to know that when Jesus comes, I'm going to be glad to see Him. When I go to be with Him, I'm going to be glad to see Him. But I'm having the time of my life right now. And if He doesn't come, I'm not going to be crawling around on my camel knees here and crawling around saying, "Oh, Lord, come. Oh, Lord, come. Bail me out of this circumstance. Oh, Jesus, won't you come in a hurry? I don't think I can hang on any longer. Here I am hanging on barely with my white knuckles, just trying to make it through until Jesus comes. Oh, I hope I can make it. I hope I can make it." No, not me. Not me. And not you. And not you. And not you. And not you. We're going out shouting. I tell you, when Jesus comes, we're going shouting. Hallelujah. Here we go. And we're going out with whole bodies, and we're going out with minds that can think clearly, minds that aren't confused and that aren't tormented. God's Word tells us that in the latter days that men's hearts will fail them for fear. I'll tell you right now, we're living in that kind of a day. If you're a husband and father and you're trying to make a living for your family and you're trying to figure out how to make your few dollars stretch to meet many requirements, you know what I'm talking about. It'd be really easy for your heart to fail you for fear. And people are going down the tubes today, and they're taking instruments like this, and they're putting in something other than grape juice, and they're burying their sorrows in it, and other similar ways. That's not necessary. We have everything in Christ. And so this is what I want you to do tonight. Now, if you believe this word right here, if you believe this word, you can be free from sin. You can be free from fear and torment, and you can be free from physical and ailments and infirmities. God's Word assures that. But this Word, you see, will not benefit you unless you mix the preaching of it with faith. This Word in this book will not do you any good unless you mix it with faith. You come into the house of God tonight and say, "Boy, that was good what he preached." But you can limp out, same way you limped in. You can come into the house of God today and say, "Praise God, Jesus has delivered me from all that. The stripes he bore provided a mending and a curing for my physical body," and go out sick. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that the word of God was preached to the children of Israel, that they had a right to go into Canaan land and live a victorious, overcoming life over their enemies and have all the blessings that God had provided for them, but they didn't go in. Do you know why? Because the word was not mixed with faith. That is why today, right here in this congregation, there are some that will hear this word, they'll mix it with faith, and they'll say, "Praise God, I'm going to have it." And they'll walk out with it. But there'll be others who are here who do not mix it with faith. Boy, he sung a nice song tonight, didn't he? But it won't do any good because there won't be any faith mixed with it, and there'll be no benefit. You've got to believe what God said in order to have your sins washed away and receive that part of the ministry of Jesus. You've got to believe what God said in order to have the chastisement of your peace to be upon Him, to have that mean anything to you. You've got to believe and act upon what God said as far as Him bearing your infirmities and your diseases upon Him in His broken body. Now, there's a wonderful opportunity for you tonight. I don't know of any better time to get yourself healed than when you have communion. I don't know of a better way. I don't know of a better time for you to receive deliverance from mental difficulties, or for you to receive healing from your physical body than at the time when we're observing the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, "This do ye in remembrance of me." That we're not going to have a little bite of bread and a little drink of grape juice here, but that as you eat this bread and as you drink this cup, won't you remember what I did? And won't you discern the body of the Lord properly? And won't you judge yourself in all of these areas and let what Jesus did at Calvary benefit you today? We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Today. Hallelujah. He's in the world today. He can bring to pass what He provided at Calvary. And so, let's remember Calvary. Let's remember what happened that day. But oh, God be praised, let's receive the benefit of it today. Amen? So as you receive the body, the symbols of the body of the Lord today, or this evening, I want you to remember that. Be reminded of what Jesus has done and discern His body correctly tonight and clearly, and judge yourself with regard to the sacrifice of Christ. Now, this table is not the table of the Water of Life Christian Center. It's the table of the Lord Jesus. And so whether you're a member of this local body or not does not determine whether you want to partake of this ministry. If you're a Christian, if you're born again, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you are invited, I invite you in His name, to partake of the sacrament. It's the Lord's table, and He issues that general invitation to all of those who love Him and are serving Him. If you do not know the Lord as your Savior, if you have not given your life to Christ and you know that you're not born again, then it is my duty to caution you that you are not to partake of these elements because, first of all, they will do you no good, and secondly, they could do you some harm. For you to eat or partake carelessly or irreverently, as you see by the passage of Scripture that we just read, is a dangerous thing. And so please do not do that. If you have young children with you tonight, and you know that these young children are born again, that they know Jesus as their Savior, and they understand what we're doing, then you feel liberty to have them join in the observance of it. Because Jesus, you'll remember when the children were brought to Christ, and the disciples began to rebuke them and take the kids away from them. Jesus said, "Now don't do that." He said, "Suffer or allow the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And so Jesus died for the little children as well as He did for for those of us who have gone past the time of fullness of hair. And so regardless of your age and regardless of your station in life, this observance is for you. The only criteria that you must observe is, do I know Jesus? Am I born again? Now, if you're not born again, if Jesus is not your Savior, then when we pray here in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. That happens when you see yourself for what you really are. That is a sinner in need of saving. When you will acknowledge that, confess it before God and ask the Lord to save you and to cleanse you from your sins, He'll do that. When you invite Jesus to come into your heart, be your Savior, and declare Him to be the Lord of your life, when you're willing to make that transaction with the Lord, you then will be born again. It takes place in the twinkling of an eye. It is not something that you can learn to do. It is something that you decide to do. And it's an instantaneous miracle that takes place inside the spirit of a man or the spirit of a woman because he has willingly allowed Jesus to come and live on the inside. If you're a Christian, but you know that your life is not right with the Lord, then as we pray, I'd ask you to confess openly to Him what there is in your life that you know separates you from Him and get clean of it. Allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from your sin. Now, the book of 1 John tells us that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. The Amplified Bible says, keeps us cleansed. And so if you're in need of cleansing tonight, if you're convicted of something in your life, then please, before you partake of these elements, get that dealt with between you and the Lord. And not only will you be free to receive the Lord's Supper, but you'll also be free from the oppression that the devil would bring against you. Let me ask you if you would just bow your heads, please.